You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Well, 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 Friday getting it in before noon again, three in a row. We're doing it here on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And as promised, if you checked it up on social media, if you listened to the Thursday show, then you know that we have a special guest today, and that's Xavier Worthy, the 2021 four-star wide receiver commit from Fresno, California. So we will get to him in the middle. At the end, we are going to talk a little bit about Joe Milton. And why I'm excited. I mean, if you've been listening to this show, this is going to be nothing new, right, in this why I'm excited category, because I've been talking about Joe Milton for a very long time. I'll elucidate a little bit on the what I know of it all. I mean, I guess not the what I know, but one of two conversations that led me to feel that Joe Milton was the best choice. I had already had another conversation with someone inside of or close to the program, however you want to put it, that kind of formulated my opinion on Milton and switched me from the McCaffrey train to the Milton train. So we'll discuss the one that's not inside the program. But before we get to all of that, I do want to talk a little bit about the current situation that Michigan faces, and that's the whole will they, won't they be able to come back of it all, because initially you had Jalen Mayfield's dad saying he's not coming back. Sam Webb, just from the tweet, I mean, I didn't see the article, but just from the tweet, it was like, hey, not so fast. Ambry Thomas went on Sirius XM yesterday and said, I'm still trying to find out if I can come back, which means that the door is clearly not closed there. You have the Ohio State duo is back. One of them had signed with an agent in Wyatt Davis. The other, Sean Wade, has an agent but hadn't signed with them yet. Rashad Bateman is trying to come back to Minnesota. He has signed with an agent. Reportedly Micah Parsons is weighing a return. I don't know. I'm assuming he signed with an agent. So how that, it's one of those things where I just feel like there's no way you can keep these guys away. And again, I defer to the Tom Mars thing that he had said, to The Athletic of it would be a different story if Kevin Warren didn't come out and say in late August, this decision will not be revisited. Because when you definitively state that they are not looking to have a season, that puts these guys in a bind. So I feel like you just absolutely have to let these players play. Even if they've signed with an agent, received impermissible benefits, I mean, I think that you have to essentially separate that, but, you know, to some degree, but in the sense of you have to sever that relationship for the time that you're in school again, and then you can come back to it. Or not. I mean, to me, it's kind of like, you know what? All bets are off. Big Ten. You went nuts. You went ham on canceling, postponing, whatever. And now the season is back. I mean, it's just not fair to those who would have played otherwise, would like to play now, to essentially be like, hey, you know what? You went and signed with an agent. Them's the rules. It's like, well, the rules apply when there's a season. And it would be huge for Michigan to be able to get, I mean, I would say at least one. I think Ambry Thomas is the biggest piece out of all of them. More than Mayfield, more than Nico Collins. Because the thing is, with Ambry, that's a position group that, I mean, I think Mike Zordich has done an incredible job, but we don't know how that position group is going to perform without Ambry Thomas. I feel pretty confident that the offensive line is going to be just fine. And it has some experience coming back. People like to conveniently forget that Andrew Stuber started a few games. Ryan Hayes started a few games. And you know, if Andrew Vistardis, if he ends up being the center, he was my projection, although that's a very tenuous projection if you check my depth chart that I have on Wolverine's Wire. Andrew Vistardis played against Ohio State for a whole half. It's some experience. It's some high-level experience. Stuber played against Ohio State and Florida and Indiana. Vistardis played against Ohio State. And Ryan Hayes played against Middle Tennessee and Army. So there is some experience there. Chuck Filiaga has been in on special teams for the last 2 years. Maybe three. I can't remember back that far. So I'm fine with the offensive line in that sense. I think Ed Warner has shown what he can do at the position. It's more at corner. I mean, we also know what Mike Zordich can do, but it's one thing to lose just LeVert Hill. It's another to lose LeVert Hill and Ambry Thomas. Ambry Thomas, I feel like, was ready to have a breakout year. And based off of what he said to on SiriusXM to John Jansen and Anthony Herron, I feel like he wants to have that breakout year. He's not necessarily ready. Now, I've reached out again to Ambry. He didn't say anything, which is rare for him. I mean, I've had a close relationship with Ambry since he was a sophomore in high school. And he's always been very talkative. So he's being very mum right now, trying to figure out what is going on. I know Michigan had been working on trying to figure out if they were going to be able to bring some of these guys back. I have been told that back when the rumors of a season happening started. So we'll see. The Nico one is the more curious one to me because we don't know when he actually opted out and signed with an agent and all of that. We don't know when that happened. If that happened weeks ago, before, you know, around the time the rumors started, before the rumors started, then I think it's one thing. But if it happened, you know, over the weekend, then maybe it's not as likely. But then again, Sean Wade opted out, you know, over the weekend, and he's back. So, stranger things have happened. I don't think it's a sign of the health or lack of health of the program. I know that there are some that are spinning it that way. I think it's some people, when they move on with their lives, they move on with their lives. And some people looked at the situation and said, clearly this isn't going to happen for me, and move on. So, all right. I think that is going to have to do it because we do have something very, very important to get to, and that is we talked to Xavier Worthy. So excited to bring him on and hear what he has to say about a bunch of different things. We tried to not just ask all the same questions everyone else does, try to find out a little bit more about him as a guy. So we'll get to that here momentarily. I do have to first tell you about Built Bar. I know you all know about Built Bar. It's a fantastic protein bar that is low calorie, low sugar, real chocolate, tastes like a candy bar. It's not gritty. You don't have to have a whole bottle of water to wash it down. And you all know it's my favorite because I put my money where my mouth is. I know a lot of you have as well in the Locked On Podcast College Network. We have a group chat and there's multiple people in there that said the same thing. Like, listen, we got our free promotional box and then bought four more. That is what Built Bar is. It is that good. So many wonderful flavors. I love almond coconut, toffee almond. There's plenty of others. You can get chocolate peanut butter. If you like the whole Reese's thing, which I do, you can get salted caramel. They have them with nuts, without nuts. So many different options for you. Just go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKEDON, and get $10 off of your first box, or I think any box of Built Bar. Because I went to order some the other day, and I got another $10 off. I'm telling you, it's worth it. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. As promised, here with maybe the most exciting Michigan commitment in the 2021 class. I know everyone's really excited about J.J. McCarthy, but we're also here with Xavier Worthy, the four-star wideout from Fresno, California. Xavier, thanks for coming on the Lockdown Wolverines podcast, man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir, of course.
Well, first off, you got your Army All-American, or actually it's not Army anymore, just the All-American Bowl. You can tell my age by the fact that I still call it that. The All-American Bowl jersey today. Tell me, what was that experience like for you, and how cool and how special was that to know that you're that locked into it?
It's amazing. Wherever I'm coming from, a lot of athletes don't really like get a lot of recognition. We don't like sign a lot of scholarships out here, like LA. We're like in the middle between LA and the Bay, so like everybody like passes Fresno. So just getting an opportunity to put on and show that Fresno has talent too is like a good feeling for me.
Now, is there anyone you're going to be playing for in this game? As I know that it isn't the Army game anymore, but I know it's still like one of those things where it's got that kind of special cachet. Is there anyone that you're playing for in this game?
Well, TP, Tony Perry, he died like last year. He put a lot of athletes out of Fresno. He passed away, so play for him and just play for Fresno to show the Fresno athletes once again.
Now, I mean, you're in California, and like you said, like I used to live in Los Angeles, so I'm well familiar where, and my old boss was actually from Fresno. They have a raisin farm up there, I believe, because I think that's a big thing where you're from, right? That part of the agriculture. I feel like there's more special athletes just kind of in the region than people kind of give it credit for. Can you speak a little bit about the competition that you face and some of your, you know, maybe some of your teammates, some of the people that are across the field from you, and just what it's like to play football in Fresno?
It's some pretty good competition out here. We had just recently we had a couple of my teammates, Ricky Correa, Jemiah Hunter. They both went to Cal. Our running back and another receiver went to Dixie State. So we had, and then on Buchanan, they had Kendall Milton. On Memorial, they had Jalen McMillan. So we have some decent competition out here. So everybody's just bypassing us. So we're just going to show everybody that we have talent too.
Now, you're particularly a pretty big standout, obviously, ending up at Michigan. But, I mean, you had offers from everywhere in the country. Can you tell me a little bit about your recruitment process? How did that all kind of go down? I know that's kind of a long-winded question, but why did you end up choosing Michigan? And kind of what did they do to kind of secure your commitment?
Michigan, they just made me a priority from the get-go. They told me, oh, we're going to prioritize you. We're going to recruit you hard. So then they lived up to their word. So I'm going to give them all. It was like they gave me the.
Now, it wasn't just the coaches who were coming after you. And I know it's probably pretty tantalizing to play for Josh Gattis and all. But, I mean, you had J.J. McCarthy, your fellow commit in 2021. I mean, you had Giles Jackson, who I know is up from the Bay Area, up in Antioch, really coming after you hard. You already had another guy like Christian Dixon down there that seemed like he wanted you to be a part of the team as well, even though, you know, he plays the same position. How much were you feeling the Michigan love from the people who were already on the team or in the fold?
I talked to a lot of guys pretty much every day, so I basically gave me a breakdown of Michigan and everything. So it was cool just getting to know everything about Michigan. That's what really made a big part of my decision.
Now, how how did you, like, I know it's an innate thing, and this is probably a stupid question, I admit this up front, but is there anything you did to get so fast? Because, I mean, you are, like, bar none, like, the fastest dude that I, like, watching your film and everything, is just, it's mind-blowing how fast you are. Is there any kind of, like, special workout or anything you did, or was it just kind of your innate ability right out the gates?
No, I was always the fastest growing up, and then my freshman and sophomore year, so this is crazy, nobody really knows this stuff. So my freshman and sophomore year, I pulled my hip flexors, and my freshman year, I pulled my hip flexor in the track meet and was done for the season, and then I came back the next year, my sophomore season, and pulled my hip in a football game. So I really, my only year of film was really my junior year, so I came back my sophomore year. In track, and I ran that 10.55, and I opened a lot of coaches' eyes. And then I came back to football season my junior year and did what I did, and that's how everything just came out.
That's pretty crazy. What was that like for you, just kind of going through that in the sense of, I mean, both sides of it? Like at the beginning when you hurt yourself in two successive years, how frustrating was that? And at the same time, when you were able to come back and run a 10.55, get national attention the way you have, how exciting was that?
It was times where I wanted to quit. My mom just told me to keep pushing, your time will come, just be patient. I ran at 10.55 and I was like, oh yeah, time's coming. And then next football season broke out, I was like, oh, waiting for the offers and stuff, like, oh, I think I did pretty good, stuff like that. So it was an amazing feeling just to know I was able to come back for two injuries, different hips, to be able to do that. So it was amazing.
Did you know when you ran that fast in track that that was going to translate to the national attention football-wise?
No, I didn't even know that until my coach told me. He didn't know I ran a 10.55 until I came in to school next day. He said, you really ran a 10.55 and you're going to get a lot of national attention. You know that, right? And told me that, and I started getting a lot of coaches following me. So.
Now, tell me a little bit about you as a person, because I know, obviously, like we all know what you can do on the football field, or at least we have some idea. Well, we know that it will obviously be even better once you get to the college level, but is there anything that you're into outside of football, like a hobby or an interest that maybe people don't know about, or something about you? Like, the way that I would think about it is, for instance, obviously I cover Michigan football, but I have a film degree, and every now and again I'll go onto Twitter, I'll offer my opinion on like a film or something like that. And I've had people be like, stick to sports, man. You clearly don't know anything about the film world. And it's like, man, I have a film degree. So is there anything about you that you would want, that you're into, or stuff that you do outside of football that you would want people to know, or that you're really super interested in?
Yeah, I'm a gamer. I'm like really good at games. Like I'm really good at like 2K, Madden, Fortnite, stuff like that. If I play a game, I'm like bound to get good at it.
That's I think it was Jaden Hood said that he's the same way when I talked to him. I'm not sure if it was Jaden Hood or Keyshawn Bennett, but so a lot of the sports and first person shooters. That's kind of where you go with that.
Yep.
What draws you to those types of games?
Well, I'm competitive. I don't like losing to nothing. So whenever I play the game, I lose, I'm getting mad. So I'll just come back, do it again. I get better. Good practice.
Sounds a lot like that translates over to the football field then. That mentality. Yeah. See, I'm curious about the games because I, during the quarantine, have turned into a gamer myself. But I don't do the shooters because I'm not good at them at all. And so I do more of like the Spider-Man event. I've been playing Avengers lately. Everyone that listens to the podcast knows this about me at this point, but Red Dead Redemption 2, that's kind of my jam. You decided obviously to make the decision, and I know this is a question you've probably gotten quite a few times, but you made the decision to enroll early at Michigan. I'm sure that was made all the easier with the fact that California is not playing high school ball. How difficult is it for you to know that you're going to be away from the game for the entirety of the fall when you anticipated on playing? But at the same time, like, How excited are you to, or nervous or anxious, whatever you're feeling about getting to Michigan and experiencing Ann Arbor?
It sucks getting to play my senior year, so that just gives me more motivation to go to Ann Arbor and show like that I could do good and just get on the field early. So, and I didn't get in pads or hit somebody in like over a year, so that's gonna give me motivation to go out there and just grind even harder.
Now, have the coaches kind of given you anything to kind of do, like the strength staff or anything, to kind of keep yourself, you know, in shape and be ready for the time when you finally do get to Ann Arbor?
Yeah, they showed me some workouts to do and stuff, and home workouts and stuff.
Right on. All right, man. Well, that'll do it for you on the podcast. Appreciate you coming on yet again. I know that Michigan fans are super, super excited about what you're going to bring to the table.
Is
Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, commitment for Michigan 2021 class. We will continue here in a moment talking about Joe Milton and a conversation that I had that I am willing to share. I believe I talked a little bit about it this week anyway, but we're going to talk more about it here in a moment. All right, so back in, I believe it was late January, might have been early February, I was at a football camp and I saw my guy, Pep Hamilton. I've been close with Pep Hamilton for years. And his son was in a football camp. So we were talking about kind of the state of Michigan football. Keep in mind, he's a year removed from it. He was on the verge of starting the XFL season, being the head coach of DC Defenders. And we're talking about Michigan in the offense, in the quarterback situation. And he had told me, Michigan isn't going to get to that level. Said Michigan is not going to get to that elite level until it has Joe Milton in. He said, once Michigan gets Joe Milton in, that's when it can take off. That's when it can become something much bigger and much better. Now, keep in mind, he coached Shea Patterson. I know that internally, the current staff at Michigan still loves Shea Patterson. There were rumors that they did not, and those rumors were false. Some of those people that occasionally break inside information, but then also put, sometimes it's accurate, and then sometimes it's, hey, the Michigan staff hates Shea Patterson, but Harbaugh loves him, so that's the deal. That wasn't true. That's why, you know, there are moments that people don't want to give them credit. So I think a lot of people recognize that sometimes they're flamethrowing or gaslighting. They did love Shea Patterson internally at Michigan, whether you did or not, whether I do or don't. I'm biased. I've known Shea since 2016, early 2016. Maybe it was even, yeah, it was 2016. I think I met him on January 2nd, 2016. So, January 3rd, that's when I met him. But nonetheless, Michigan loves Shea Patterson, regardless of what some people would have you believe. Now, again, Pep Hamilton, though, he didn't say anything negative about Shea. He just said, Milton is other level. He is next level. Now, I had a conversation as well yesterday with someone who used to be with the program, who is no longer with the program, is with another program. And they had said, they had reiterated to me, they're like, I cannot wait to see what Joe Milton does. They reiterated what I've been telling you for a long time about them seeing him as a number one overall pick type. So I mean, I think that for those who are concerned, I mean, just recognize that this is the thing about the way they've seen him for quite some time. Trying to find exactly where they said that. I'm looking at the conversation now. So it was a conversation via text. All right, I can't find it, but nonetheless, Joe Milton has everything you're looking for. And I, you know, I've had that conversation with Pep Hamilton. I've had that conversation with another former staffer. They reiterated that Dylan is really good. So Joe, by virtue of winning that job, should tell you where he is, because there has been some kind of backlash to some degree from some fans that are like, nope, don't like that, don't like the fact that that it's Milton and not McCaffrey. And I feel like the people who believe that are the ones that just would see McCaffrey come in and after Shea, give the offense a little spark, and then Shea comes back in, and you just assume that Dylan's the next man in line. And that's not the case. Joe won that job. So Michigan is in a wonderful position by virtue of him winning that job. Because like I've told you, someone who you are familiar with had told me that the offense would be in the best position if Milton won the job. And he has. So there it is. All right, we will be back when we are back, sometime either over the weekend or next week. We're going to transition into the everyday thing the closer we get to the season. I don't know that it's going to be next week, but once we get to the season, we'll get back to the 5 days a week. If we have enough to go on this next week, then we'll do it 5 days. But still, 3-4 is where we intend to be at. Hopefully, we've had all three this week be in the morning. That's the intention. You can also catch me on Locked On College Football on Tuesdays, Locked On Big Ten on Thursdays. So there will be five of me regardless, but upwards between 5 and 7 is possible. That'll do it for us, though, today. Maybe we'll be back tomorrow if I get some good stuff from Oak Park, West Bloomfield. We'll see. But for now, again, appreciate you listening. Locked On Wolverines podcast. You know where to find us. Peace.